Welcome to the August Delta County Commissioner's Report. I'm Felix Belmont. Joining me is Eric Gould, KVNF's news analyst and reporter. Our guest today is Mr. Mike Lane, Delta County Commissioner for District 1. Mike, thank you for coming into KVNF to talk to us and to listeners throughout our broadcast area.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
The commissioners have been working on future land use regulations. Where does that stand today? You've held community meetings with the public to review the plans. What's been their general reaction? We understand some people have made comments to the effect, we want to keep Delta County the way it is. Is this attitude contrary to what you're trying to accomplish with the new land use regs? So just bring us up on the situation, where you stand and how it's going.
Well, it's still on an ongoing basis. We hope to have roll out this fall, which is, golly, next couple of months, something that we can present to the public at the meetings around the county that we can discuss and have some maybe some hard discussions. Progress is coming, and the county's supposed to grow at like 2% a year, and we would like to have new businesses, new people come in, and we need to have a place for them and tell them where that the best place, have the place of business, what it is, because of the infrastructure and septic systems that would have to be installed. If they have over a certain amount of employees, then they have to be on a sewer system within the city or something like that.
Now, the state gets involved in that too, don't they?
Yes. The state, as I understand it, permits the septic system, the wastewater system, but the county has a person that goes out and, approves the site and looks at the site on the state's behalf. But, industry can come in, but then where do they build? Where do they go? Because of the infrastructure could be lacking in the area that they want to build or have their business. The right-of-ways for the roads, can they get there? Are the big trucks involved? Do they have enough visibility on the road where they want to put it? Things like that. And so we would like growth, but at the same time, where do you grow at? And we have to identify those areas where we can help the people thrive with their business. At the same time, listen to all the neighbors and what their ideas, what their thoughts are about businesses coming in, large or small.
Well, it ain't easy.
No.
That's for sure.
No, that's true. People like to do what they want to do on their land, but they don't want their neighbor to do what the neighbor wants to do on his land unless they like it.
And the paper some weeks ago did quote a couple of people say, we don't want Delta County to change. Well, I think we all kind of feel like that, but we can't stop progress either.
That's true. That's true. There's a lot of people, moving in. The real estate market right now is pretty tight. The hemp production is in full swing, and there have workers coming in for that, new people coming in, buying property up to raise hemp, and hopefully that all works for them.
Thank you, Commissioner Lane, for being here today.
You're welcome.
I actually, Felix, have a question about the real estate market, so you and I have been thinking along the same ways. At the last meeting, the Delta County Board of Realtors updated commissioners on the current state of property sales in the area. And I just wondered, as a commissioner, what was your reaction to that presentation? How are property sales in Delta County? How do you feel about the real estate market?
It's a seller's market. There's not much out there. The inventory is lacking. Used to be you would have quite a few rentals, but then people saw the real estate market go up, and so they sold the rentals, so there isn't that much to rent either. And people have seen an opportunity where they can make a dollar, where they've kind of had to hold on to it since 2008 or whenever they bought it. But it is tight. And, jobs and housing is always an issue, I think, in Delta County. And we're trying to attract investors to come in. We have a program to where the tax deferred can happen on a piece of property. It has to be inside a certain area to where the tax benefits are realized. And there's working groups that are working on that, trying to find an ideal place for an investor to come in to take advantage of the tax breaks on that.
How does all that you've just described here, how does this compare with other counties? Is this pretty pretty universal throughout the state, or are we unique in this? Are we more exacting than other counties, or just as a matter of curiosity?
Well, I think except Colorado's doing good. Maybe the southeastern part of Colorado is hurting a little bit. But, you know, you hear about the booming that's going on in Denver. They can't find enough workers, can't find enough skilled workers, you know, for electricians, plumbers, or general labor at all, because of the people moving to Colorado. And the power companies can't even keep up with you know, laying new lines to the subdivisions, keeping those up, keeping them permitted, keeping them inspected. So I think Delta's not unique, and I'm glad we're not growing as fast as Denver is, for sure.
Well, thank you, sir. We're here on the Delta County Commissioner's Report. This is the August edition. I'm Eric Gould with KVNF News, joined by Felix Belmont and Commissioner Mike Lane. We've talked a little bit about the real estate market here in Delta County. We might shift gears a little bit. And, sir, I have several questions here for you. Some of them might require long answers, or some of them might require short ones.
Okay.
We'll see how many of them we can get through here in the next few minutes on the show. The first one is an issue here in Paonia. There's a controversy here about an annexation issue involving property over near Price Road. It's the county's land that the town wants to annex. And it's obviously a local thing that you can't comment much on, but in a general way, what role does the county play in this process? You know, from the county's perspective, where are we with that?
I guess there's the city of Paonia wants to annex just because they can maybe see some sales tax revenue coming in if the new store there is going to go there. There was some residents of Price Road that came to the county commissioner meeting and didn't want to be annexed into the city. The county can, I guess, deny the annexation request from the city, and that would be one step that we could do. The citizens there, they like it to be in the county. They don't want to be in the city, and I guess that's just their personal preference. One lady said there's not any potholes on Price Road and they'd like to keep it that way. And I said, well, put that on Facebook that there's no potholes on Price Road. But it is an issue, and hopefully it can be resolved and in a timely manner and in a civil manner. But it's a hot topic for the people on Price Road, where they want to be in the city or stay in the county.
And in terms of the commissioners, in terms of procedure, right now it's all in the town's of Paonia's court. Like, they're the ones who have to file the petition and do all the paperwork before it even gets to the county for a decision, right?
That's the way I understand it. And there's probably some legal processes, the notices that have to be posted in the paper for however many days before the actual request can be acted upon.
Okay, thank you. And we'll just move on to our next question here. Let's see. Where are we with the audit? I know in the last meeting, the commissioners approved an extension to file the county's financial audit with the state. When is that going to be presented to the public?
The auditor came to the county commissioner meeting yesterday morning and presented the audit. Didn't find anything unusual, no surprises, no drama. He said it looked like our money is safely invested. And he went over how many dollars was in each account and how secure it was in his mind. He said the county looks right where they should be. We've got enough reserves. You'd like to have 3 months reserves, and we got 4 or 5 months reserves in the account. Our budget was just about right on. We had a over $30 million budget, and we only had to, and I don't know if this is the right term, appropriate or release, $181,000 was not budgeted for. And he said that is just like a drop in the bucket when you're talking to over $30 million. And the county's in good shape. He was very thought highly of our workers in the accounting department, how good they were to work with. They had everything like they should be, and our staff there was right on the ball with everything that they were charged to do. And he left us a book, and I'm assuming that it's out on the internet, because we downloaded on a thumb drive, and I'm sure it's out to the public here if it's not already out.
Well, I hope the public is made fully aware of how good it is, because it certainly reflects well on the county commissioners and how you've run the thing.
And we have a good county administrator, too, and with Robbie LaValle and the staff there, you know, they, with the road and bridge and all the department's health and human services, they are on top of the government grants on what is available, how much is available, how much we have left, how much we can spend. And it's really nice to have a staff that good and that's on top of it, and they like their job. And they've been there a lot of years and kind of know the ins and outs, and it's good to have that good a staff.
And you're listening to the Delta County Commissioner's Report. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. In a real quick follow-up to that audit question for Mike Lane, on Tuesday, August 13th, Delta County released the 2018 audit report to the press and to the public. The auditor reported that, quote, Delta County's assets exceeded liabilities by $166.5 million at the end of 2018. Of this amount, $18.7 million may be used to meet the government's ongoing obligations to citizens and creditors. $144.8 million is invested in capital assets, and $3 million is restricted by law. Now, let's get back to the Delta County Commissioner's Report. And thanks for listening to the Delta County Commissioner's Report. This is the August version of the show here on KVNF. Thanks so much for listening today. We've talked about several different topics here so far. There was a press release that came out from Delta County from the Public Information Officer, Darnell Place Wise. This came out on July 31st. And the opening sentence is, the Delta County Commissioners will be considering a change in how the county approaches regulation of oil and gas development in its September 3rd meeting. And then it goes on to say, the oil and gas regulations that Delta County currently has in place are outdated and need updating. It's going to take time for the county to update the regulations. So let's just stop there and ask, what is the genesis of this need to go ahead and completely update the 2003, I believe, oil and gas development regulations that we have now?
Well, the new Senate bill can give more authority to the counties to regulate oil and gas drilling and production. And Delta County came with their oil and gas regulations because the state of Colorado was not regulating oil and gas as good as they should. And so Delta County came up with these oil and gas regulations. Now the state is regulating the industry pretty heavy. Of course, the feds are too. And do we really need to have two government agencies looking at the same project where their regulation says the same thing as our regulation? And the state has a deeper pocket than the county does to be able to fund regulations. Weld County just started their oil and gas regulation department, and they have a budget of $1.9 million and 20-some employees, where Delta County, I think we have two producing wells, and the rest of the wells are in Gunnison County. And is it a wise use of the county's money? I'm for limited government and fiscal responsibility. There are regulations that are needed. Any industry should be regulated to make sure that for safety and health, and the state's regulations look like they have stepped up to the bar, and that we should maybe, and I say maybe, do away with our oil and gas regulations and let the state do it, because they have the wherewithal, and we don't have a deeper pocket as it would take to hire somebody to regulate the oil and gas industry. It seems like each time the decision has been made by the commissioners on something like this, there's a special interest group out there that sues for whatever reason on the decision that is made, whether it's administratively or if the commission makes it. The people of Delta County, paying their taxes, are funding the county attorney to defend the county in the decisions. This last lawsuit, the special interest group voluntarily withdrew their lawsuit after filing it. And it's kind of looking like if we make a decision that is contrary to their beliefs or thinking, then they're going to run to the court and to prolong the matter, to stay the matter, to whatever. Is that a wise use of the taxpayers' money? Because they'll be the ones paying the attorney bill to defend Delta County.
Okay, I wanted to step back and talk about Senate Bill 181. That's the legislation they passed just this year that will allow counties to have more direct say in control of their oil and gas regulations. And as you mentioned, you talked about Weld County. We had a story on the newscast this morning that talked about Weld County. They've created this new Department of Oil and Regulation for their county alone. And of course, Weld County produces 9 out of 10 of the oil barrels that are produced in this state, so they have a vested interest in it. Weld County is going in the direction of completely changing and maintaining their own regulations in the county, and they handle the whole ball of wax. Delta County is talking about passing, in a sense, passing the responsibility for the oil and gas regulations to the state. Is that what you're considering now?
Considering updating Delta County's oil and gas regulations, or is it better to, since the state has updated their oil and gas regulations, which our regulations, most of them are running concurrent with the state's regulations, do you need two government agencies looking at the same industry, at the same location, drill site, the same hole? Is that a wise use of Delta County's money when the state has stepped up and did it?
And you mentioned the lawsuit. If it happens as the press release seems to indicate, and Delta County gives authority for their oil and gas regulations to the state, that sounds like you are doing it so if someone sues, they'll sue the state and not the county. Is that kind of the thinking behind this?
Well, I'm assuming that was how they would do it. They might still sue Delta County for, you know, whatever reason, whatever their attorneys advise them to do. But that's not the sole reason, no.
What is?
Well, I think it's several factors. The Delta County regulations need to be updated and expanded. Looking at the state's oil and gas regulations, they look pretty good. And combining with that and then with the lawsuits that potentially could arise, I think, are, you know, a couple of reasons to take a hard look at it.
What do you think about the idea that Senate Bill 181 was written and passed to give counties control over oil and gas regulations on their own? That's why they wrote this Senate bill. Here we have Delta County thinking about taking that authority to craft and determine their own oil and gas regulations and giving it back to the state. It seems like the opposite of what Senate Bill 181 wanted to do.
As I understand, the Senate bill was to give more local control, but not total control. And reading the article from Weld County, you know, they might have an uphill battle because the state is still, as I understand it, has the final authority over the drilling permits, the locations, how many drill sites that can be on one pad, how many holes can be drilled on one pad. And so I don't think it was written to give, you know, total control to the counties, maybe more local control. But at the same time, the county can say or do something, and if the state doesn't permit it, doesn't consent to it, the state is the one that has the authority over it.
And I know this is a tedious topic, and I won't belabor it anymore beyond just to give you this one last question, which is, of course,
go ahead.
I think it's a pretty important question. While the county is trying to figure out what regulations they'll be following and working out with the state, who is trying to figure out Senate Bill 181, and that will be years away, during this time while all of this is happening, why not have a moratorium on drilling in Delta County?
Well, you got to have drilling to have a moratorium, and there's no drilling, so no moratorium.
I think the idea is simply just to say, while all of these discussions are being made and these laws are being going through the courts, not a moratorium in the sense that we have to stop the drilling that we have now. As you indicate, it's two wells, like you said, but simply to indicate that there will be no more drilling coming while they make these decisions.
In other words, no new drilling.
Right, no new drilling.
Well, exactly. They couldn't. As far as I know, in Delta County, there's only some seismic activity. There couldn't be any new drilling until the application was submitted and reviewed. And so there's nothing really to stop because there's no activity other than the seismic, the survey. And they still have some hoops to jump through in order to accomplish that. But as far as, you know, getting any more drilling coming, there's, as far as I know, no applications to do that. And it might be, you know, like you say, a couple of years before the new laws, oil and gas regulations are written and discussed. And by that time, maybe that's when we'll get the applications.
Well, it's good to lay the groundwork for this discussion because on September 3rd, when you have the regular business meeting with this agenda item, hopefully, you know, people will have questions to ask that are informed. And
we'll have something to talk about.
Red flag laws. As we know, Delta County is a Second Amendment sanctuary. And there's news in that because after the recent shootings, President Trump now actually is supporting red flag laws. How do you feel about that, Commissioner? Does that change your opinion?
We're not a Second Amendment sanctuary. When we had the resolution, we didn't put sanctuary in there just because we didn't want criminals to come to Delta County thinking they had sanctuary. So we didn't use that word. It's a very tragic situation. And, you know, you can, each time that something like this happens, the gun control advocates come about. When Ohio and Texas happened, but on a weekly basis, Chicago, there's people killed there weekly that you never hear about. Nothing is said about that, but they, at the same 48-hour time period that the shootings in Texas and Ohio occurred, you know, there was, I think, 500 people that died from medical errors. There was 250 people died from the flu, 200 people killed in car accidents. You know, and gun control advocates, they want to take all the guns away, and they, with the idea that that will, no more gun deaths will happen. But, you know, we've taken the drugs away and made it illegal, and there's still drug deaths. And I saw a speech by a lady that was a survivor of the Holocaust in World War II, and she was from Austria. And he said Hitler came in, and Hitler let it be known that they rolled in with their tanks and took over Austria. But she said Austrians voted for Hitler, 98% voted for Hitler. And he came in and with the idea of, okay, we need, there's too many gun deaths, register your guns. Next thing it is, bring your guns in. And if you don't bring your guns in, it's a capital punishment. And I don't want to go down that road. It's a tragedy. It's, you know, the mental health. People are saying that, you know, they were sick, and I don't know the age of the young men that did it. They were 16 years old. When you're 16 years old, in that situation, if you came from the most loving family there ever was, or your father came home when he was drunk and beat the crap out of you, still at 16 years old, you know right and wrong. And they need to be held accountable and go through the justice system. And you look at the video games that, and I've just seen a little bit of them advertised on TV, the carnage there's on the video games. And I don't know if that has anything to do with it. I really don't know. But it kind of takes away the stigma of death, of life and death. And, you know, you can't control that. But I think people need to be held accountable for their actions.
And you're listening to the Delta County Commissioner's Report. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. You just heard Commissioner Mike Lane's comments about the red flag laws and other gun control issues. Three quick bits of fact-checking are necessary. First, as Commissioner Lane noted, Delta County's resolution about Colorado's red flag law clarifies that Delta County is a Second Amendment preservation county, not a sanctuary. Second, Commissioner Lane said that the recent shootings in El Paso, Texas, and in Dayton, Ohio, were committed by, quote, a 16-year-old teenager. In fact, the shooters in El Paso and Dayton were 21 and 24 years old, respectively. And third, Commissioner Lane mentioned a link between gun violence and video games. Most media outlets and experts agree that no definitive study directly linking video games to mass shootings has ever been conducted. Now let's get back to the commissioner's report. Well, thank you for your time, Commissioner Lane. We've kind of covered a whole gamut of topics.
Well, you have Delta County Fair going on this week. Are you guys into bull riding?
I don't know, Felix, what do you think?
No, I haven't been down there yet, but I want to try to do that tomorrow, maybe.
Well, Delta County, we last night had the community event down there, and we cooked 500 hamburgers.
Really?
And ran out of hamburgers. We could have probably used 50 or 100 more.
Wonderful.
Last night. And it was really nice to see young families there with little kids and older people there. They had the cowboy poetry, and it was all free. And the county paid for the hamburgers and all the fixings, and it was nice to see families come out and have a good time. And they went into mutton busting, antique tractor pull, rodeo Thursday and Friday night. So, Eric, I think you still got time to enter the bull riding.
All right. Well, my favorite is the demolition derby, so I've been saving up for that.
Oh, okay.
Thank you for taking the time to come up.
You're welcome.
To spend with us.
It's always great to see you two good-looking guys, I tell you what.
Thank you. And for KVNF, I'm Felix Brumman.